If you're like me, getting back in shape is always a goal, but that's what it remains, a goal. That's why I'm excited about our new advertiser, FitBod. FitBod is a fitness app that tailors workouts to fit your life, your goals, your gear, and even your schedule. It's like having a personal trainer in your pocket. Whether you're a gym rat or just trying to get back in the groove like me, FitBod evolves with you, tweaking routines to push your limits and maximize your gains. And FitBod keeps things fun, mixing in different exercises, reps, supersets, and circuits. It's like a new challenge every time you work out. It's time to ditch the boring routines and kickstart your fitness journey. Add FitBod to your workout essentials. Join FitBod today to get your personalized workout plan. Get 25% off your subscription by trying the app for free at fitbod.me/Zabe. Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. That's fitbod.me/Zabe. Today on the Zabecast, turning 50 sucks. The only thing worse is, well, not turning 50. J.R. Smith, shoelace untier, soup thrower, score not knower, an all-time blunder in the NBA Finals. We got Notorious J.A.Y. We'll talk NBA Finals, and he'll explain the Drake versus Pusha T feud to me as best he can. All that and more in 45 minutes. If you've got the time, then buckle up and let's go. Friday, June 1st, 2018. Thank you for downloading and thank you for listening. And thank you preemptively for everyone who gives me birthday wishes today that I will not have time to respond to. I got what I wanted last night and the only thing I wanted for my birthday, and that was 50,000 followers. Huzzah on Twitter. I had noticed that I was stubbornly close at about, 140 followers shy. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could get to 50,000 followers right at the stroke of midnight on my 50th birthday? And you guys responded. Yes, I did have to send out a tweet begging for it, but you guys responded. So I got that last night for my birthday, and I got the only other thing I ever want, ever, last night, and that is a good story, a great story to talk about on the radio. And certainly the case of J.R. Smith not knowing the game was tied when he got an offensive rebound off a missed free throw from Jordan Clarkson, or was it Larry Nance? All these jabronis just blend into one another on this, LeBron-led Cavaliers team. It was an all-timer. It really was. And, of course, it spilled over into the postgame where LeBron was badgered about it by Mark Schwartz of ESPN. No, he's no longer at ESPN. By Jeremy Schapp, maybe? Forget who it was. LeBron got testy with somebody asking him over and over, what'd you say to JR? Did he know that the score was tied? Did he know not to put it? LeBron's like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I'm going to take my $41,000 handbag. Yes. I'm going to get my expensive glasses and I'm out of here. And my short shorts, my suit with my short shorts on it. Anyway, more on that in just a second. Before we get to Notorious J.A.Y., I hate these stories. Sears closing another 63 store locations, company clinging to life. Now, look, I don't shop at Sears regularly. I have bought things occasionally from Sears, an outdoor patio set, maybe some exercise equipment, maybe a microwave, who knows. And I don't go there much. And I understand that the world changes and business changes and everything else. But, I mean, Sears, come on. That is an iconic American commercial landmark. Fucking Sears, Roebuck, and Company. Since shortened to just Sears. Thursday morning, Sears Holdings, which owns both Sears and Kmart, announced it's identified 100 non-profitable stores that will be closing 72 of those locations in the, quote, near future. When Sears actually published the list of stores closing, though, the company wound up changing the tally. The full Sears closing list, which is included below in this story and updated, contains 63 stores, 15 Kmarts, and 48 Sears. Liquidation begins at those stores as soon as mid-June. Everything must go. So you get to go to Sears and then, you know, maybe hopefully rob them blind of a Manna refrigerator or something like that. I guess people are buying their refrigerators online. I guess. Like, they have to buy them from somewhere, right? Don't they have to talk to some salesman that explains the features and the different classes? You know, how, well, if you want to pay another $200, this refrigerator has Wi-Fi. You can't just totally buy these big items online, can you? Do you? Is there another, you know, is Best Buy selling a lot of refrigerators these days? I don't know. It just, it's too damn bad that Sears is clinging to life and has to close another 63 stores. Maybe J.R. Smith can go work at Sears once his basketball career is done. The notorious J.A.Y. joins us now by telephone from the Cottrell Mansion in
Palatial Estates,
Dundalk, Maryland, or parts thereby. What is your nearest town, my friend?
I'm in Glen Burnie, Maryland.
Glen Burnie! I love it. So did you stay up to watch that entire fiasco last night as J.R. Smith has etched another low watermark in his already illustrious career of duh?
I remember a couple of years ago joking that they will never win a title with J.R. Smith, which they did with one, and I had to eat crow. But last night was the most defining dumb J.R. Smith moment in the history of J.R. Smith.
I mean, to see the picture, the visual of LeBron James pointing at the basket like, hey, over there, we still need to score. It's only tied right now. It just is amazing. Someone said, like, the fact that LeBron did win a title with J.R. Smith is his single best accomplishment of all time.
No doubt. But J.R. Smith in the post game said, I thought we were tied. Yeah,
and
J.R.
So what was the strategy?
Right. Not to just put the ball back up.
Like,
God, he's just, oh my God. The basketball IQ of Rain Man.
It's not good. It's not good. And, you know, known for untying shoes at the free throw line, known for throwing a bowl of soup at an assistant coach this year, now known for either not knowing what the score is or for some reason thinking, nah, let's just play for overtime. We got 4 seconds left here. Why shoot and risk winning?
Do you yell at the coaching staff also for not telling him the time?
It doesn't matter. You could have told him. You could have put a note. You could have pinned a note to his chest.
Stupid.
Yeah, exactly. You know, J.R. Smith is going to J.R. Smith no matter what. But you know what? He'll always have that parade in downtown Cleveland where he was shirtless the whole time with his ripped up body and all of his artwork, his body art on full display. You can never take that away from J.R. Smith.
Where does J.R. Smith now rank in the pantheon of stupid decisions in sports? Who does that?
Chris Webber timeout. Jim Marshall running the wrong way. What else would be in the pantheon of dumb mistakes in sports? Roberto DiVincenzo signing the wrong scorecard at the Masters, getting disqualified. It's up there. We'll take suggestions, by the way, on Twitter and also via email. So, yeah, and then what made it even worse, there's two other things from the game last night that were complete fiascos. One was the block charge reversal on LeBron James late in the game. Thank you, replay. Once again, this is what I've said all along about replay. Once you start going down that road, there's no end. I thought it was a block, Jay, and so I thought that the call was, quote, correct, what they got to eventually. But the way they got there was very, very fishy.
That play didn't bother you?
But here's the thing.
That didn't bother me.
They went to look at the charge because they wanted to see if he was inside the restricted area or not, which he wasn't by a good feet.
That bothered you more than the end of the game?
Oh, no.
I haven't even gotten to the end. I don't know what they were looking at.
I haven't even gotten to the end of the game yet. I'm just talking about the block charge. Here's a key play.
That one didn't bug me as much as other calls.
Okay, but here's the thing. So the Cavaliers up to late, under a minute to go. They draw a charge on Durant, and then they go look at it and reverse it. huge call in the game.
And it kind of did change the swing of the game. That's very, yes, you're very right. Yeah. No, you're right.
But the point, the point is that they were able to go look at the play only because the rules say replay can be used for restricted area violations. So you could get into the hen house under the guise of, well, was he in that restricted circle or not, or semicircle? And then once you're in the hen house, they change the rule, according to Van Gundy and Jackson, to say, well, once you're in there looking around, you can change the call from a block charge, from a block to a charge or vice versa, by looking at it on replay. It's the only type of foul in a sport in which every foul is subjective to a certain degree that you can actually look on replay and go, I'm going to change this subjective call.
Again, Well, that was. What do you say about replay? Don't do it. Just get rid of it.
Well, it's a false. It's a false god. People that love it are worshiping a false god. They're like, well, isn't it better to get at least some of the calls right, or, you know, fix some of the mistakes? And I'm like, no, it really isn't. Getting it right is A, overrated, and B, takes too goddamn long, as we're finding out more and more. Did you see how long it took them to look at that block charge? I mean, it takes all of the moment out of the sport. But anyway, so they get the call, I think, technically right, because LeBron was sliding over last minute. He wasn't square, and it looked to me like a block all the way. Then the end of the game, where Tristan Thompson has the audacity to contest a late shot by, Steph Curry, was it?
That was Sean Livingston.
Okay, yeah, Livingston. Shot clock running out. And the game is already decided in overtime. And Livingston's going to throw a shot up instead of getting a shot clock violation, like a 10 seconds left in the game. And Tristan Thompson contests at the last second, hits Livingston's arm. And referee Tony Brothers, runs in, makes a big deal, a beat late, and they call it a flagrant foul. What?
Thus, and also, the best moment of the game. I don't know if you caught this. So after that, LeBron and Steph got into it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because actually Steph went up for a layup at the end of a shot clock possession. Again, when the game was basically salted away, he went up for one of his little loop-de-loop, floaty-float layups, you know, launched from the waist. And LeBron just, bam, batted it off the backboard and started glaring at him. And then the two started, pip, 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 pip. What'd you like about that?
Well, Mark Jackson had a don't get fired moment, and he did not get fired for saying something dumb.
Uh-oh.
But he went to the line, and then was like, I think I'm going to stay on this side. So
What did he almost say? I don't think I heard this.
If you go back and listen, Mark Jackson goes, well, I'm just going to say this. A lot of players in the league think Klay Thompson and Steph Curry are soft. But these guys are as tough as possible, as tough as they come. What he wanted to say.
Well, yeah, translate for me, please.
He wanted to say, a lot of people think Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are soft because they're light-skinned.
Oh.
I swear to God.
Oh, no.
But he had a don't get fired moment, and he PG'd himself. It was a great moment.
Really? You swear to God that was maybe the case?
Trust me, says Jay. That is well known at the meeting, Zabin.
Well known at the meeting. Okay. Yes. Wow. Yeah, that would have, boy, oh boy, that would have set ESPN talk show tongues a wagging forever and a day.
But he quickly PG'd himself. It was I could not stop laughing.
Well, maybe those guys are a little soft because they grew up rich. Their daddies were in the NBA. LeBron's daddy split when he was a kid. Right?
There's a comedian named Gary Owen who does a bit, and he says, on my football team, I want every guy who does not know where his father is.
Oh, Jesus.
Because he has issues.
Oh, God. By the way, I don't think I've ever heard anything about LeBron's father.
No. Or have you heard anything about Durant's dad?
No.
Damn.
No.
You would think they would come out of the woodwork by now asking for their cut.
You would think that maybe they'd float out of there. There's probably been stories, I just haven't seen it. So anyway, with the Cavaliers having blown a golden chance to, you know, steal game one, tell that dog to stop barking. What kind of dog do you got, Jay?
I have a mix, and I don't know what he's barking about because it's only 8 in the morning.
Well, you know, he could be hungry. Did you feed him?
Oh, he'll get fed later. I don't know why.
Well, maybe
he
wants to get fed now.
No, that's not gonna
happen. What kind of mix?
He's a beagle, a lab, and you'll love this one. A little pit bull in there too.
Oh, a little pit bull. A little Mr. Worldwide in there, huh?
Exactly.
Don't start with Mr. Worldwide. All right, so so having blown their golden chance to steal one in game one, what happens now to the Cavaliers? Is it a quick 2-3-4 out sweep?
Five games, they're done. That's it.
Okay, five games max. Might get one in Cleveland, huh?
Yeah, I'll give them one there, but this was the golden opportunity. I still can't. I just love the post game with J.R. Smith and Rachel Nichols. And he's like, well, I thought we were tied, and I thought you'd dribble out. What? He goes, I thought we were tied. I thought I'd dribble out, and we'd get a better look. What, JR? You dribble out?
Dribble out.
Put it back up?
Get a better look, yeah. Do you think it'd be better if you just admitted, yeah, I had a brain lapse, and I forgot that we were tied?
Yes. Did you see Tyronn Lue, who was as angry as I've ever seen Tyronn Lue?
Uh-uh.
Oh, watch the post game with Tyronn Lue. Could not fit. To be tied is the word you're searching
angry,
for here.
Angry at J.R. Smith.
Oh, disgustingly angry at J.R. Smith.
Okay. Well, it's his fault for having him on the team. He's the coach. Shouldn't he be able to cut him or not play him? Like, I know he's kind of one of LeBron's guys, not quite as much as Tristan is, but still. At some point, you have to say, well, we can't win with guys like this. It's what I've said all along about, you know, the Warriors carrying both JaVale McGee and
Nick Young.
Nick Young. Like, they're doing it almost as a bet. I compared it to Trading Places, the movie, where it's like, you know, we can make a homeless guy a stock trader. Watch. You know, Mortimer and forget the other guy, the character's name. Remember Trading Places, Eddie Murphy?
Yes, and the Duke brothers and, yeah, and the Duke, Randolph.
Randolph and Randolph Mortimer Duke. Right, exactly. I think the Warriors are just saying, well, you know what, we can win a title with two of the lowest basketball IQ guys ever. Did you like, oh, by the way, JaVale McGee's botched dunk?
It was another in JaVale. It was JaVale being JaVale.
It really was.
God, I love when he does stuff.
Catches in the post, turns, nobody's guarding him. He's 6'11". He once dunked two basketballs in the dunk contest, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
And he turns.
Could not dunk one in the playoffs.
Turns around and just sort of spazzes out, basically, at the moment at which he's like, oh, wait a minute. Poor guy. And of course, now all those get turned into looped GIFs on the internet and people just snicker at him.
His highlight reel, my favorite one is trying to post up, I believe it's Isaiah Thomas, and falling as he's trying to post up. Isaiah Thomas.
Oh God,
that is 5'8". He is 6'11".
Yeah. Do you like the one where JaVale runs down the court at full speed on a break and decides to take off with the basketball? Oh, about 2 feet behind the free throw line, and misses a dunk by a million miles. There's another one where he briefly goes the wrong way and they have to point him in the right direction.
And John Wall looks as angry as I've ever seen him.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, right. What happened was there was a rebound, an offensive rebound. JaVale thought it was a defensive rebound. He starts sprinting in his big giraffe-like frame at 6'11". He starts sprinting down the court, and nobody goes with him because the Wizards got the offensive rebound, and John Wall just stops and he points the other way, and then poor JaVale has to come back into the picture like, okay, sorry about that.
Obviously, he did not get his basketball IQ from his mom.
I know, his mom was a great player.
But, yes.
Got athleticism from his mom, did not get basketball smarts from his mom. So, anyway, anything else to add about... LeBron's short suit. The shorts and the suit, Jay.
Go ahead. Looking like Little Lord Fauntleroy.
What do you think?
Not, Not a good, not, was that, is that the worst? Well, Russell Westbrook has the worst looks of all time, but this came a close second to the worst fashion look in NBA history.
You know who it reminded me of? Cartoon character Richie Rich. Richie Rich would always walk around with a bow tie, a jacket, and shorts on with all of his money. His stacks
with
of cheddar, cheddar, cheddar.
Too.
Yeah.
Dress pants.
Do you know the bag that he was bringing into the arena, that alligator bag, was allegedly, it allegedly costs $41,000.
Are you shocked and appalled?
No, or, I guess I'm not. I'm not shocked and appalled, and good for him. And, you know, this is what the ultra-rich do. No big deal. But $41,000 for a bag.
That is, again, that look. Russell, again, Russell Westbrook is the GOAT of all terrible pregame looks.
Not a fan, huh?
No, have you seen some of the stuff Russell wears?
It's out there. I'm sort of a fan only because it's like, wow, it is out there, that guy.
And he doesn't care.
No, I think he loves it. I think he loves being a fashion guy. Interesting fella. Who has Russell Westbrook been linked to romantically? Why are you laughing? Why are you laughing like that? I'm asking. Who's his girl?
Russell is married with...
Is he really?
I want to say two kids, but I know he has a kid.
Oh, okay. I had no idea that he was Ward Cleaver.
Yeah, I know Russell's married, and because they talked, either E60 or Real Sports on how he chooses his fashion prospects for the day.
Nina Earle is her name. Ooh,
she's quite fetching, too.
She's very nice. Trying to figure out a comp to what who she looks like. I'll have to think about that one. Ah, good for Russ.
There you go.
Okay, there you go. All right, thank God you're here this morning, Jay, because I got a very important question for you. Can you explain to me, in one elevator ride or not, the beef between Drake and Pusha T? I'll hang up and listen to your answer off the air.
I can't believe that you are now asking me to explain the Drake. So, Pusha T belongs to Good Music, which is a Kanye-driven vehicle.
Is it a label?
It's a label, right? Good Music, and Pusha T, formerly of the brothers Clips. He had a group with his brother Malice.
Okay.
Who was twin brother Malice. Yeah. They are from Tidewater, Virginia.
All right.
Okay. Anyway, Pusha T, and if you ask me, how good is Pusha T? Pusha T is probably top 10, top 5 artists of all time.
Is he really?
All time. Right now.
Right now. Right, okay, now. So Pusha T is legit.
Right. So I believe they did some work together, and Drake did not pay Pusha T, and now Pusha T is very angry. And then Drake put out a song with some lyrics about Pusha T. Pusha T then came back with a answer to the diss record.
I was going to say, you said a song, Jay. I thought it was called a diss track.
Diss record. This is very old school.
Diss track that he put out.
This is very old school, but I'm going to make a diss record about you after you've made one about me. This one's very good so far.
Okay.
This is very old school. I'm enjoying this.
All right. So Push's freshly fired diss track, The Story of Added On, was released on Hot 97 on Tuesday.
Yes.
The Story of OJ was Jay-Z's 2017 single. That was the basis for that. The spit in Drake's face, set to the No ID beats of Jay-Z's 2017 single, The Story of OJ, launches low blows about the Canadian rapper's parents. Quote, your father walked away at 5, hell of a dad thing. Also pinged his racial identity. Confused, always felt you weren't black enough. Afraid to grow it because your fro wouldn't nap enough. Oh, ow, wow.
What the hell
Body blow.
Like uppercut.
Like the old game punch out, yes.
Yeah. Then Pusha T went into the multiple sclerosis of Drake's producer, Noah 40 Shabib. Ovo 40 hunched over like he 80. Tick, tick, tick. how much time he got. That man is sick, sick, sick. Whoa.
There are no rules, Zabin, to disc tracking. Yes. I remember one of my favorite, it was called Ether, and it was Nas versus Jay-Z. And Nas said, I'm paraphrasing, but he basically said, you have lips like Jimmy Walker.
Oh, boy.
There are no rules to this record. You can say whatever you want to. And
wow.
I applauded Pusha T.
The battle later continued, writes the Post, with Pusha questioning Drake's lyrical cred. Quote, it's gone too far when the realist ain't real. Before Drake retaliated.
Same ghostwriters. Yeah.
Right. Before Drake retaliated by calling into doubt Pusha's drug dealer rep. Quote, you made a couple chops and now you think you chopo, was his reply to that. So Pusha T got his name because he was a drug dealer. Pusher.
They openly talk about selling cocaine in Virginia.
Oh.
I think he's from the Michael Vick era. I mean, yeah, whatever area Michael
Hampton
Vick
Roads.
Is from. That's where they're from.
Hampton Roads, Hampton News, Bad News, Virginia.
Bad News.
Bad News with a Z,
Kennel. Bad News Kennel.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Well, I just want to know, is there a website I can go to keep up to date on this? Because this will be a fast evolving and continually changing feud. So,
you mean like rapbeef.com?
Is there really a site called rapbeef.com?
If not, there's a site. I think Wikipedia probably has where you can look at all the rap beefs ever.
Okay, but I want like up-to-date coverage of this particular one.
Okay, I don't think there's a Wikipedia, but I'm sure somebody has a site that they're keeping up to date on what's on the goings on and how long. Because this is better. Today is better with rap beefs because back in the 90s or early 2000s before the internet in the 80s,
yeah,
you had to secure studio time and then pay engineers and do all
right,
that stuff.
Right,
now,
right.
You can do it from your computer and then you can turn it into somebody. You can do it in like 45 minutes.
And you can, you know, blurp it out via social media. Everyone sees it or everyone hears
exactly.
It. Back in the day, you had to put it on cassette and then go to street corners and say, here you go. Why don't you put this in your boombox?
You had to distribute it. You had to, you know, get distribution for it. It's like, no, way too much time.
All right, this one, I don't know if you've got the internet on you, but maybe you could do it visually. Somebody has gone and casted the entire NBA Finals with actual actors, and I want you to tell me if you think some of these actors are good comparisons to do the particular players.
Okay.
In fact, I almost need you to look at this picture itself. Maybe I could text it to you. While I'm sitting here on the phone, can I text you this?
Yes, you can.
And you will receive it via text?
I will receive it post-haste.
Okay, while I'm doing this, Jay will now spend 2 minutes to talk about the NHL Stanley Cup Finals, which I know he's totally into. Kidding.
I am into it because of Mike Doc Emmerich, who is he not the best play-by-play man in sport?
He is absolutely incredible. He just is great. He calls the game with such energy, such joy, I always say.
He makes you feel it.
Yes.
And that's something hard to do.
Yes, exactly.
Like
okay.
His voice inflections on a shot, and then there's a kick save, and you go, oh, you do that yourself.
Yeah.
While watching the game.
Okay. It's still processing here. Boy, it takes a long time to get a photograph pushed down the internet pipes down to a recipient. So, yeah, I'm going to games 3 and 4 at home, and I'm going to game 5 in Vegas, Jay. How do you like them apples?
Have you gotten that cleared by Mrs.
Zabin? By Mrs. C, yes, because it's my birthday today, and I said all I want for my birthday is for you just to smile when I say I'm going to Vegas for game 5.
Well, happy birthday to you.
I know. Thank you very much. When did you turn 50?
Not yet.
Oh, shut up. How old are you?
I'm not 50. I had the big 4-8 in February 26.
Oh, okay. So you're 48.
Yes.
Don't laugh like you're way younger than 50. Ah, I'm not 50. I'm 48. Jay Farrow is Kevin Durant.
Because he's tall and black. I'm not a fan of Jay Farrow. No.
Okay. Michael B. Jordan as Steph Curry.
Not light-skinned enough. Nope, don't like that.
Okay. Idris Elba as LeBron James.
Maybe, but still weak sauce.
Kanye West as Tristan Thompson.
Because he's an a-hole. Okay, that one's funny.
That was funny. You like that one? All right. How about Jamie Foxx as J.R. Smith?
Oh, that's a disservice to Jamie Foxx.
Oh, really?
Nobody wants to be J.R. Smith.
Okay. Tim Meadows as Andre Iguodala.
That's a funny one.
Michael Fassbender as Kevin Love.
Oh. By the way, Kevin, is the NBA protocol as hysterically stupid as the NFL Kevin Love was gone for what, a game?
Yeah. No, wait. He missed a game, but he was in the protocol for almost a week. But it's not football, Jay.
And I don't understand why basketball needs one.
All right. Nick Cannon as Nick Young.
Ooh, that's a good one. They're both equally as goofy. I like that one.
All right. Michael Ealy as JaVale McGee.
Nah, that's they're just going because they're light-skinned. No.
Okay. All right. Danielle Kaluuya as Draymond Green.
Okay, that one's kind of funny. That was a good one.
You like that one there, right there? And I think that's it. This is a Barstool Sports graphic. Someone did a good job of the photoshopping on it. So, yeah.
That's a pretty good. They went a lot of just because they're light skinned. They're like, you can't do that. Put a little more time and effort into it.
All right, you going to Delaware on Tuesday? You know what's happening in Delaware on Tuesday, right?
I do not know what's happening in Delaware.
The
Let me
first
know.
Legalized gambling in America outside legalized sports gambling. First legalized sports gambling in America outside of Nevada occurs Tuesday. Several places in Delaware say that they will offer sports bets starting on Tuesday. They're beating New Jersey to the punch by about a week.
You're doing a live show from there.
I want to do a live show. I want to do a caravan because we have a listener, E, who always starts with gentlemen, who talked about the Delaware Express going up to one of the racetracks in Delaware for the weekend to bet the little piddling parlays, which was the only thing you could bet for years. That Delaware had this small exception to the anti-gambling rules in the country about, you know, sports betting, and they could bet small parlays, like no more than $50, and it had to be at least a three-team parlay on football. But he would still go up there, and we joked that, you know, he was going to take the Delaware Express to go bet on this game, that game, and the other game.
You're not going with Mr. X, who has to be beside himself with great joy?
I could bring Mr. X.
Have to bring Mr. X.
I wanted to get, like, a bus. A party bus loaded up with beer, go up to Delaware, be there for the inaugural opening at 1 o'clock, take photos, take videos, push it out to social media, be there. This is like the first bricks of the Berlin Wall coming down. I want to be there. I need to be there.
All you need is David Hasselhoff singing. Oh, you should get him for the bus. He ain't doing nothing.
The Hoff.
He's not doing anything. Are you going to Dover Downs? Is that where you're going to go?
It's a couple places. I've been to Dover Downs to gamble with my pops, and it was over the summer though, so there was really nothing to bet on, and there was that little shop in there. But yeah, no, I feel like it's an important thing that we
it is
need to go there. A lot of people going to go broke, man. This is going to be interesting. All this gambling now, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens now that it's legal and it's going to be legal across the country.
And how about Brent Musburger? Had the foresight to see all this and then
start
his...
VSiN. Yeah. But who knows if they're making any money at VSiN?
Okay. It seems like they are. They have a nice little. Well, have you been on his show before?
I was on Gil Alexander's show in Vegas when I was out there 2 springs ago for Zabe Vegas. He invited me on. We chatted. And it was nice. It's like this big fishbowl studio encased in glass in the middle of the South Point Casino, which is way the fuck down the road, a good $20 cab ride. you know, at least 15 minutes of a cab ride south of the most southern part of the strip, south of basically Mandalay Bay, you know, another 15, 20 minutes almost to South Point Casino, and that's where it's located. So it's kind of out of the way. It's a nice studio. I have no idea if they're making any money, though.
Are they in Old Vegas? Is that where they are?
No. This is like as you come into town Vegas.
Okay. Yes. But it seems that, he saw the future.
Yeah.
And jumped on it quick.
I think that's, definitely possible that he was ahead of the curve on that one. All right. Anything else you want to talk about before we get to Fuck That Guy? Because I know you've got a Fuck That Guy.
Oh, I do have a Fuck That Guy. I would like to talk about how horribly bad the Baltimore Orioles are. It is now laughable that your Nats came into town,
not even
pumping on all cylinders, and just kick the hell out of the Baltimore Orioles. Chris Davis, by the way, now is the worst player in the history of the Baltimore Orioles, hitting 150 and getting paid like $18 million a year.
I saw that. So when they paid...
Baseball player of all time, Baltimore Orioles.
When they paid Crush Davis off of his, what season was it that he pretty much, pegged the needle on all of his statistical categories?
I want to say it was when he hit 45 and drove in 150. He got the big contract off that.
And? At the time, were you one of the, before you crush Davis... and how bad he is right now. At the time, were you saying, don't give him this contract, he's going to tail off at the end? Or were you like, we got to pay this guy?
I was like, don't pay him now because this is not going to stand up. Because I believe he got busted for Adderall and missed
the playoffs. Right. That's right.
And I said, there's no way I can give this guy money. And I believe the word is from the warehouse that he is a favorite of Peter Angelos' wife, and that's why he got the money.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. 2013 would be the year that he absolutely killed it. 53 home runs. Did bounce, had 26 home runs the next year, but only played 127 games. But then in 2015, played 160 games and hit 47 bombs.
Look at the batting average, though.
Oh, you're a batting average guy, huh? Well, let's see. Yeah. 2014, that's the weirdest split. Hit 26 home runs and was below the Mendoza line. Hit 196 that year.
That's not good, is it?
No, it's not good. But, baseball continues to change where I'm not sure people care about batting average. It's all about the three true outcomes and hitting bombs and barrels and launch velocity and launch angles and all that other nonsense. So 47 home runs. He had 38 home runs in 2016. Pretty good. And hit 221. And even had 26 bombs last year, Jay. And hit 215, which is not great. This year, though... 50 games so far, hitting .156 with a grand total of 4 home runs.
That's not good.
Not good. Okay. All right. Are you ready for Fuck That Guy? Is that a yes?
I'm waiting. Will I hear the music this time?
No, you will not hear the music. In fact,
hold on a second.
No, hold on a second. I gotta swap this out. This is live podcasting, people. Everybody relax. Live podcasting.
I love this part.
Live podcasting. Just don't worry about this. We'll take this out in post-production. We're not going to take it out in post-production. Here we go. Okay, hold on. I'll cue you, Jay.
Okay.
I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
All right, Jay, you're on. Who do you got this week?
So the big story yesterday in my area, Zabin, was my school, Mount St. Joe, refusing to play a school called St. Francis in football anymore. St. Francis has turned into IMG Academy. They have they're in East Baltimore, Zabin, but they have players from far away as France, Texas, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And Mount St. Joe, who, by the way, gave them their toughest game last year in a 32-22 defeat, said, you know what? This is not high school football. And we're going to kind of take them off the schedule. to everybody saying, oh my God, well, I thought high school was about competing. Yeah, it's about competing when you play players from your same area, but not players from France, Ohio, and Texas. I hate to say this. All the people at St. Francis who are wringing their hands and saying you guys aren't competing, fuck that guy.
All right. That is a crazy high school. They're getting players and, quote, students from all over the world.
Yeah, and somebody said, well, the school is helping a lot of students who would otherwise not get looks, to which I said, yeah, but it's funny. All the guys they're helping are 6'5", 280. I'm sure there's some other kids
right.
who they could be helping.
Where are the nerds they're helping? I don't see a lot of them from France
Thank
and
you.
Portugal and whatnot.
Thank you.
All right, my fuck that guy goes to, let me get his name here. It goes to one, oh, damn it, where's his name, this loser? Oh, come on. Just listen to the music here. All right. Oh, you know what? Doesn't matter. The guy that allegedly punched the horse in Philadelphia before the Vikings-Eagles NFC Championship game, guess what? He is now suing the cops, saying he was just standing around minding his own business when a couple of mounted cops rolled up on their horsies and began to harass him. Guess what? Fuck that guy!
As you like to say, right.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, you're suing us. Yeah. All right, Jay, good to talk to you this week. Enjoy the Capitals this week, and I know you're a big hockey fan. Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Enjoy the Orioles. Enjoy this wonderful rainy weather as we turn the page into June, because May was a complete soaker. And we will talk soon.
Thank you, sir.
There you go. Follow Jay on Twitter as well. At Jay Cottrell
34.
There you go.
34.
Jay Cottrell 34. And I'll keep up to date on that Pusha T Drake feud, because I know that's it's important to keep up on these things.
Well, right? Again, like I said, we'll talk about it next week at the meeting. It'll be bullet points.
Okay, very good. All right, Jay, see you, bud.
See you, Zane.
All right, we'll end on a happy note today. The woman who saved the Comerica Park goose, you know, the goose that flew right into the ribbon board, bam, and ended up tumbling down to the seats, an animal sports-related highlight that is going to be an all-timer. The woman that, I guess, saved the goose or took the goose out was a veterinarian, thank God, and she was brought back the following night to throw out the first pitch in the game with the Tigers and the Angels. Dr. Catherine Roach is her name. She is a Detroit area veterinarian. She just so happened to be sitting close by, and she, along with other Tiger employees, worked to make sure the goose made it out of the ballpark safe and healthy. And of course, the Tigers have now adopted a goose, a plastic goose, a decoy goose, as their rally cry. They have a hashtag rally goose. All is well with the goose in the end. All right, that'll be a wrap for today. I got birthday cake and presents. I got birthday cake to eat. I got presents to open. I got lots and lots of people texting me saying, thank you, happy birthday. And I'm like, thank you, thank you. I did nothing to turn 50, but yeah. Let's start this next 50 years of life on a good note. You know the drill. Tell two friends. Hit up that Reddit thread about how great the Zabecast is. Leave a positive review. Download, subscribe at all the major podcast outlets, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, Overcast, and more. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend. Go Caps, and we will see you Monday.